I had mentioned in the previous Shmuas the Netziv in Parshas Emor, where he mentions that the note of Trua is essentially a note that denotes a Yom HaDin, whereas the note of Tkia is a note which denotes rejoicing. Actually, his basis for this are two psukim in Parshas Banosecha. It says in Perek Yud, Pasuk Tes, V'chi savovu milchoma ba'artzechem, al-hatzar hatzore eschem, v'harei osem b'chatzotzros. In a time of war, the trumpets are to be sounded with a trua, v'harei osem. The next verse mentions, u'bayom simchaschem u'v'moadechem, u'v'roshechot sheichem, u'sekatem b'chatzotzros. So here we see that in a day of Simcha, the note that's supposed to be sounded with the trumpets is that of a tekiah. We also refer to the fact that the Gemara teaches us that whenever a trua is sounded, it is always accompanied with a tekiah. Whenever a tekiah is sounded, it's always accompanied by a trua. Therefore, the Netziv explains that the obvious intent of the pasuk is that in time of war, the dominant note is the trua. An auxiliary note at that time is the note of simcha. Why? Because at a time of war, the midas hadin is extended over Klal Yisrael. It's a time of judgment for Klal Yisrael, a time when we have to be aware of the fact that our lives are in danger and that we're being judged by Shemayim. The outcome on the battlefield will be determined by the heavenly court, so to speak. On the other hand, he says, when a Jewish soldier is in battle, he's not supposed to despair. He's supposed to be filled with optimism and with bitachon in a Kodesh Baruch Hu that Hashem will help him, even though he is confronted by odds by which he's outnumbered many times. It makes no difference. And for this reason, the trua, which is the dominant note at time of war, is accompanied by a tkiah, because there's a note of simcha that a Jew should also have. He doesn't go into battle alone. He doesn't go into battle where his cannon is going to be balanced against his enemy's cannon, or his army or navy or air force will be pitted against his enemy. That in itself is a cause for simcha. On the other hand, on a day of simcha, the dominant note is a tekiah. But that also has to be accompanied by the auxiliary blowing of a trua. Because at a time of simcha, in the midst of the simcha, many times a person forgets himself. His yiras shamayim starts to slip. He may do things on a day of simcha when he's not working, when he's rejoicing, that he normally would not do. He may take certain liberties, indulge in certain excesses that he might not normally do. And that's why on a day of simcha, the trua is sounded as an auxiliary note. To a person should never forget that he should always remember, kol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtovim, what we do is recorded, and what we do we will have to be accountable for at the day of judgment, ad me'aver simshono, and so on. In light of this, it's very interesting that the shofar that we blow during Rosh Hashanah, not only as well as the shofar that we blow during the month of Elul, and as well as, of course, in Rosh Hashanah, that even though the dominant note is trua, as we saw in the Chumash, that Rosh Hashanah is referred to as a day of zichron trua, that's the dominant note that's mentioned. We also pointed out the fact last week that the Tur mentions that the whole basis of the minhag of blowing shofar during Elul is the pasuk which says im yitaka shofar be'ir v'am lo yecharadu, that the shofar, the sound of the shofar, is one that instills fear and an awareness of the impending yom of judgment upon a person. So if this is true, what does a note of tkiah, how do we understand the fact that the trua of Chodesh Elul should also be accompanied by a tkiah? How does that fit in? It would seem to be that we don't need any help to remain besimcha during Elul. Our job is to become more and more serious. So we don't, if anything, we should blow straight through it. But why? What is the place of a tkiyah in Chodesh Elul? And of course, we can ask the same question regarding the tkiyah, which precedes and follows the tshuva during the during Rosh Hashanah itself. The answer to this question, I believe, we can find in a very beautiful explanation of the symbolism of the tkiyos of the shofar in the Shlo HaKadosh. The Shlo HaKadosh mentions that the tkiyah, which is a kol yoshor, a straight and unbroken sound of the shofar, the tkiyah which precedes the shvarim trua, that note symbolizes the fact that man was created, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, in Koheles, excuse me, the pasuk says in Koheles, Asher oso Elokim es ha'odom yoshor, that man was created yoshor, man was created pure, man was created with a neshama tohora v'kedosha, a chenek elokam imal, a neshama, the spirituality of which supersedes even that of the angels and is considered to be in a part of the Almighty Himself, kvayocho. It is this neshama with which man is endowed that permits him to reach remarkable heights in spirituality. And this is actually a point I wanted to add to that which the Shlo HaKadosh mentions. The Shlo HaKadosh relates to the fact that man was created yoshor, which in itself is a tremendous gift. But the Shlo brings to mind a Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Bereishis, where the Chazal address itself to this verse in Koheles, Levad re'ezeh matzosi, asher oso elokim eso odom yosher. And the Chazal comment as follows, Lo bara'u HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenikra tzadik v'yosher, eso odom b'tzalmo, elo kedei nio tzadik v'yosher kamohu. That the Almighty, who Himself is called a tzadik v'yosher, created man in His image, only to endow man with that divine potential that he might be a tzaddik v'yosher kamohu. So I wanted to suggest this in line with what the Shlo HaKadosh says, that the first note of the shofar not only denotes the fact that Hashem created man yosher, which is in itself is a great gift, but also that He endowed us with a divine capacity to approximate the godliness of our Creator. That Hashem, who is called a tzaddik v'yosher, endowed us with a neshama, with a tzelem elokim, He created us yosher in order that we can continually throughout our lives more and more approximate the Almighty Himself in His midos and in our and His behavior. It is this gift of being created yoshur, and it is this potential for man to approximate the yashrus of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in his striving for protection through his lifetime that Rabbi Akiva refers to in Ovos, where Rabbi Akiva says, Chaviv Odom Shenivro Betzelem, Chibo Yisero No Daslo Shenivro Betzelem Elokim, Shenemarki Betzelem Elokim, also Esa Odom. Rabbi Akiva himself is an extraordinary example of a man who lived a good part of his life without realizing that he was created with this potential. And when he realized it, we know what he did to himself and with the rest of his life. The Shlo HaKadosh then goes on to tell us the symbolism of the trua. Because of a machlokas in the poskim, in the Gemara, and in following in the poskim as to exactly what we mean by trua, therefore, of course, we blow shvarim and trua. We mentioned last week that the trua denotes the Yom HaDin. We brought a raya from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Beis, as to why that is so. Relating to the same Gemara, the Shmuel goes one step further, and he tells us that the notes of Shvorim Trua also represent the sighing, the groaning, the mourning, the mournful notes, even the crying of a person who recognizes the seriousness of his sin against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, especially in light of the fact that he will be accountable for the deeds that he has done. He therefore refers to what the Rabbeinu Yonah calls Yogal, one of the Ikorim of Tshuva, that a person is not supposed to be sorry on a superficial sense when he does something wrong. If a person loses a few coins from his pocket, he also feels sorry that he lost a dollar's worth of change or so. Rabbeinu Yonah says that a man's sorrow and a man's remorsefulness at having sinned against towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supposed to approximate a man who loses his whole fortune, a person who is a gevir adir and suddenly finds himself penniless because of business reverses, people who suffer tragedies that, Rachman Litzlan, that shake them to the very roots of their being. And more than this is a person supposed to experience the anguish and the pain and the sorrow at having sinned against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. As a matter of fact, in Shari Tshuva, the first Shar, Sif Yud Beis, we see there that the Rabbeinu Yonah uses some of the exact expressions, or very closely to the very expressions that the Gemara uses in Rosh Hashanah, speaking about the mournful notes of the shofar blowing. It's only when a person has this deeper type of remorse and regret for having sinned against the Kodesh Baruch Hu that the stage is set for him to do tshuva. And that is why the Shmuel HaKadosh points out that the Tkiyah Achrona, the final note of the Tkiyah, which follows the Shvorim Trua, that is also a Kol Yoshor, a Kol that represents the fact that Almighty has graced man with a gift of tshuva. And this gift enables him to restore himself and his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as it was when he first came into the world. All the notes of the final tkiyah, all the halachas rather, all the dinim of the final tkiyah are exactly like the tkiyah rishona, exactly the same. And it's this gift with which the Almighty has graced man, a gift that comes exclusively from the Midas HaRachmim of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shmuel HaKadosh quotes a well-known chazal that we find at the end of the second parak of Makos in the Yerushalmi. Sho'amu l'chochmo. Chochmo was asked, Chote mahu oncho, what should be the punishment of the man who sins? Omru lahem, chatoyim teradev ra. The evil that the sinful person does, that in itself will pursue him. His punishment will be the exact consequence of the deeds that he has done. This is what the intellect of man says, that the man behaves in a certain way. So he therefore eats the fruits of his deeds. He does averas. The averas that he does, this in itself will become his punishment, will pursue him and bring evil upon him. Sholo nevuah. Now we turn to prophecy. And the same question is asked, Chote mahu onsho. Prophecy includes already, goes beyond the intellect of man. It includes the area of religion, religious thinking. What should be the consequence? What should be the punishment of the man who sins? Nevuah is asked. Omro lohen, hanefesh hachotas, hi tomus. Nevuah quotes a pasuk from Yecheskel. A man sins against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're asking me what his punishment should be? He should die. Hashem, who bestows myriads of kindnesses to a human being every moment of his life, by which he lives and by which he functions and by which he maintains his health, and the man turns with these very gifts while Hashem is giving them to him, and at that same time he does averus, so he should die. There's no question what should be done. That's what religion answers to this question, is what should be done with the sinful person. The Gemara continues, and the Chazal asks, Shalom, and the Chazal tell us, Shalom, Makucho, Brihu. Chote mahu onsho. They turned to the Almighty Himself and posed a question to Him. Omer lehen, the Almighty answers him and says, Yasu tshuva v'yischaper lo. You want to know what the man who does tshuva, who sins, deserves? Let him do tshuva and all will be forgiven. So therefore we see from here, the Shema Koro says, the special gift of tshuva with that the Almighty Himself has graced man with. And this is denoted, symbolized by the last kiyah that we blow after the truos. The kiyah representing that man, through the gift of tshuva, can restore himself to a state of yosher, just as he had when he was created. I wanted to add to this shema another thought, that perhaps the last tekiah also symbolizes the fact not only that man is graced with the gift of tshuva, but it also represents to us a derech, a method that can help a person to do tshuva. And I'm referring to a Rabbeinu Yonah in the beginning of a mimer of his called Yesod HaTshuva, in which he says that when a person comes to do tshuva, the derech that he should follow is that he should look upon himself on that day as if he's a newborn person, that he comes into the world now clean. He has no averis, he has no mitzvahs, he's starting a brand new slate. He's coming into the world as when he was born. Ki'ingo hayom nolad, that's the motion that he uses. In the words of the Shema, again, that he comes into the world, Yosher, I'm starting out now clean. I'm starting out straight and pure and clean as an arrow, clean and pure and tohor v'kodosh as I stand before the Borei Olam. And he should feel that he's not, that he has the ability, the inner strength and ability, to overcome any of the inherited qualities that he may have acquired from his parents. He's able to overcome environmental influences in his background that may have led him to be nichshol in certain things in the past. Actually, this yesod is reflected in is mentioned in a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Omer Reb Yitzchak, Dalet Dvorim Mekarin Gzardino Sho'odom. Tzedoka, Tzo'oka, Shinui Shem, V'Shinui Maisa. Tzedoka is obvious. Tzo'oka refers to Tfilah. Shinui Maisa refers to Tshuva. And that these things cause a person gzar din cholila to be changed for the good. We know from the Lashon of the Medrash that the Nesana Tokef quotes, but what does the Gemara mean when it says shinui shem, a person changes his mind, changes his name rather, I'm sorry, a person changes his name, and this results in a Kodesh Baruch Hu destroying an evil decree against him? The Pshat in the Gemara we find in the Rishonim. The Ran mentions it in the Rambam and Hilchas Tshuva Perek Beis, learns the same Pshat in the Gemara, that the changing of the name represents to the person who does so the fact that he is a different man than the person who did all these things in his past. I'm not the same person who did all these things. I'm a different man completely. We see reflected, according to this Pshat, the Yesod of the Rabbeinu Yonah, that a man has the ability. A man has the ability to wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, I am becoming a new person. I'm becoming a new individual. I'm not going to be bound and influenced and prejudiced by my previous pattern of behavior and method of thinking. I'm going to start all over again. I'm going to start today as if I am a yosher. I am straight and true as an arrow, just like when I was born. So I wanted to suggest that in addition to the insight of the Shema Kodosh, that the final note of the Tekiah represents the gift of tshuva by which we can straighten ourselves out in the eyes of the Almighty, it also represents the derech of tshuva, a practical advice as to how we can achieve this new status before the Almighty. Based on this Shema, I wanted to suggest that is the significance of the tekiah being added to the notes of the shofar during the month of Elul. The dominant note of Elul is, of course, the day, the impending day of judgment. The note of the shofar of Elul that is supposed to instill within us an awareness of the Yom HaDin is the Truah. But at the same time, the Tkiah, which precedes the Truah, the Tkiah, which follows the Truah, carries with it a note of Simcha, a note of optimism, a note of trust and conviction that we have the divine potential to straighten ourselves out, to restore ourselves through the gift of tshuva to the status that we had when the Almighty with His kindness brought us into the world. It is these thoughts that are supposed to occupy our minds during the month of Elul when the shofar is being blown. And as we fulfill them daily, will the Almighty bless our efforts to come closer to Him and grace us with a successful Elul.